This is Hurricane Season, a podcast that explores some of the biggest storms that have greatly impacted Greater Houston people and policies. On episode 6, Hurricane Rita.
The 2005 Atlantic hurricane season was the most active in U.S. history. 27 named storms threatened the Western Hemisphere between June 8th and December 30th. They included a record 15 hurricanes. Four of these reached Category 5 hurricane strength, another record, with wind speeds of nearly 160 miles per hour. The worst of these, Hurricane Katrina, killed more than 1,800 people. And while Katrina took its greatest toll on Louisiana, the storm also had a profound effect on Texas.
People had seen what happened in New Orleans and were really terrified, and so the evacuation was much greater, perhaps, than needed to be.
I'm Andrew Schneider. When Katrina hit, Houstonians opened their homes to tens of thousands of evacuees from New Orleans. They didn't realize that within a matter of weeks, they would face a test of their own. Hurricane Rita was every bit as powerful as Katrina. Fear of the storm prompted millions to take to the roads, creating a lethal situation. On this episode of Hurricane Season, we tell you how Rita, a hurricane that missed Houston entirely, still caused one of the deadliest disasters in the region's history.
Hurricane Season is a project of the Houston Flood Museum in partnership with Houston Public Media and is supported by Houston Endowment. Visit HoustonFloodMuseum.org.
Bill White, and now I'm chairman of Lazard Houston.
Even before Bill White was first elected mayor of Houston in 2003, he was concerned about the threat of flooding from the Buffalo Bayou. He had several conversations on the subject with local environmental activists he'd met through his nonprofit work. He also read a pair of books that dealt with the difficulty in protecting New Orleans from floods, John M. Barry's Rising Tide and John McPhee's The Control of Nature.
That prepared me fairly well. When I got a call on Monday morning, not from the national news, but from the president of Shell USA, that the levees had in fact been breached.
It was August 29th, 2005. Hurricane Katrina's storm surge breached New Orleans' levee system in more than 50 places. More than 80% of the city was underwater.
And I knew from that point on that the city of New Orleans would be uninhabitable, and we needed to prepare to be a good neighbor.
For White, that meant providing shelter for those escaping the catastrophe. Robert Eccles, then Harris County judge, worked hand in hand with White. Eccles said initially he'd agreed to shelter 2,500 people in the Astrodome.
About 3 o'clock in the morning, I got a phone call from Jack Colley, the director of the emergency management from the governor's office, asking if we could make that instead of 2,500 to be 23,500. Turned into about 60,000 that came through the Astrodome by the time it was done.
Every spare hotel and motel room across Greater Houston was pressed into service as well. But White and Eccles realized that shelter was only a temporary solution. Many of these people would never be able to go back to New Orleans. They needed homes. Future Mayor Anise Parker was then Houston City Controller. Parker's job included finding apartments for the new arrivals.
Mayor White did some very smart things in the aftermath of Katrina and the mass evacuation to Houston. And one of those was to say, we're going to house these people. We're going to get them out of shelters as quickly as humanly possible. And we're going to standardize everything.
Bill White says it wasn't just hotel rooms and apartments filling up. Hospitals were inundated with Katrina evacuees who were sick or injured. Every spare hospital bed was taken.
Plus, we even put in service hospitals that had been closed and reopened them, which was a logistical challenge.
All told, roughly 250,000 people sought refuge in Houston and Harris County. And just as officials felt Katrina had stretched their resources to their limits, Rita was born. Saturday, September 17th. A tropical wave from off the west coast of Africa merged with the remains of a cold front north of Puerto Rico. That formed a tropical depression. It reached tropical storm strength around 6 p.m. on September 19th, just east of the Bahamas. 24 hours later, Rita accelerated into a hurricane. It shot past Key West, Florida, and across the Gulf of Mexico. With every mile, the storm gathered power from the bath-like water below. The wind whipped around the eyewall faster and faster. Bill Reed was meteorologist in charge of the National Weather Service's Houston office based in League City.
Rita was a Category 5 hurricane in the Gulf of Mexico with a forecast track basically coming over the west end of Galveston Island. 1900 and 1915 are classic examples of why that's not a good path for our area.
The 1900 hurricane generated a storm surge that killed at least 8,000 people and all but destroyed Galveston. The city responded by raising the island's elevation and building the Galveston seawall. Experts say these two massive engineering projects ultimately saved Galveston from being obliterated by the 1915 hurricane. The last major test of the seawall had come when Hurricane Carla struck in 1961. The National Weather Service says what saved the most lives on that occasion was the orderly evacuation of coastal communities that had no such protection.
Well, let's go back to why it succeeded in Carla.
Neil Frank joined the Weather Service just prior to Hurricane Carla. In 2005, he was chief meteorologist for Houston CBS affiliate KHOU.
Far fewer people lived here at that time, and Carla was moving very slow, which gave local officials time to notify people to go ahead and get out.
Houston was home to just under a million people in 1961. By 2005, its population surpassed 2 million. The Texas legislature had just passed a law giving local governments the authority to order evacuations. Galveston County now became the first to use that authority, giving the order September 21st at 6 p.m. Houston Mayor Bill White made an announcement at roughly the same time. White says he took a more measured approach.
What we did note to citizens that there was the potential for wind damage and power outages, which were a principal risk of people living, for example, in high-rise senior facilities. We urge people to use their common sense and did not order a mandatory evacuation of the whole area.
That's not quite how Anise Parker remembers it.
For all the good things that I think Mayor White did around Rita, and I think he handled it masterfully. He said one thing that we all realized in retrospect that we could never do again. We had to be really, really clear on language. And he said something to the effect, if you're in an area prone to flooding, you need to evacuate.
Parker says language was especially important given what Houstonians had just been through 4 years earlier with Tropical Storm Allison. And even more so when the city had just spent 3 weeks absorbing the horror of what Katrina did to New Orleans.
I think the general reaction was, well, hell yes, I'm in an area prone to flooding and I'm going to get the heck out of town.
Parker volunteered at the city's emergency command center taking calls from residents.
Not 911 calls, but calls for people, I've been told to evacuate, I don't have any transportation. I've been told to evacuate, but I'm on an oxygen machine, I'm in a wheelchair, where do I go? I don't have any family members, I don't have any place to evacuate to.
Houstonians were taking to the highways virtually on top of residents fleeing Galveston County. Coastal residents from Beaumont to Corpus Christi also hit the roads, fearing Rita might turn and hit them. Bill Reed with the National Weather Service says people further inland began to panic as well.
There were people calling me as far away as Katy, Texas, saying, we're getting ready to evacuate. Where should we go? And I was trying to tell them, you really don't need to go anywhere. You're safer in your home probably than on the roads at this point, because by now the roads are full of cars. And I think most of them still went anyway.
The flight of inland residents did more than add to the traffic, as then-Harris County Judge Robert Eccles recalls.
Along the route, logistics were not in place to provide gas. So when the folks that lived along the highway would also evacuate, being afraid of the storm, no one was there to run the gas stations or to provide the food and meals and things to folks that might otherwise have been needed.
The Emergency Operations Center at Houston Transtar enabled city and county officials to coordinate with the state. But Eccles says that only worked for an area that stretched two or three counties away.
Some of the small town police were pulling over folks coming through with expired inspection stickers and license registration and those kinds of things that was slowing down the traffic evacuation.
There were now roughly 3.7 million people on the roads, every escape route gridlocked. US 290 toward Austin, I-10 West toward San Antonio, and I-45 North toward Dallas, which was the worst by far.
The traffic was so bad, if you could imagine a traffic jam that goes from Dallas to Houston, solid. And it's hours and hours of people being stranded on the road, running out of gas.
At this point, some of Rita's rains might have been welcome, if only to cool the air. Instead, the temperature on the highways soared past 100 degrees Fahrenheit, in some places past 110. The heat frayed people's nerves. Accidents multiplied. Drivers, stuck and running low on fuel, turned off their engines to save gas, leaving them without air conditioning. Others, fearing what would happen if they pulled off the road to use the bathroom, held off drinking water. Former Houston Mayor Bill White says he appealed to Texas Governor Rick Perry for help.
I had communicated to the state that we needed emergency fuel supplies brought in, and asked the governor specifically whether he would be responsible for that or whether I should make the calls necessary to the major refining and distributing companies to make sure that was done. And the governor said that the state would take care of that. No, there was inadequate fuel supplies.
We reached out to Perry, now U.S. Energy Secretary, for a response. We have not received a reply. Perry ultimately took a step that relieved the gridlock. He ordered that all lanes on I-45 and I-10 go to contraflow, one way, away from the storm. Mayor White arranged Metro buses to pick people up. Judge Eccles, working with White, helped arrange transport of fuel. But Eccles credits ordinary citizens who lived along the highways with doing the most to rescue people.
Much as Houston had done for Katrina when that massive influx of evacuees came into our community, the smaller towns along the route opened their schools and their courthouses, their homes, and took in people from Houston that were stranded on the highway.
Meanwhile, Hurricane Rita surprised everyone. Rather than hitting Galveston, the storm turned right and plowed into southwestern Louisiana on September 22nd. By then, the storm had weakened to a Category 3 hurricane. Rita drifted north over the next few days before breaking up over Illinois. Again, meteorologist Bill Reed.
Our forecasts are now about 35% more accurate on the track than they were back then. Within the skill of forecasting, Rita was well within that envelope of error, if you will, of where the storm could go.
Houston escaped the worst of Rita's wrath, yet more than 100 people still died. Why? Officials found almost all of the deaths stemmed from the monstrous traffic jam, either as a result of heat stroke or accidents. In one of the worst cases, a bus transporting residents of a Bel Air nursing home caught fire, killing 23 passengers. In the aftermath, Governor Perry, Judge Eccles, and Mayor White set up a task force to determine what went wrong and find ways to prevent another such tragedy. White sums up its conclusions.
It identified emergency fueling plans done with the major refiners and fuel distributors, as well as some debottlenecking of the evacuation routes from Houston be undertaken.
Above all, says Anise Parker, Rita taught a hard lesson about how to order an evacuation in the 21st century.
You do it by zip codes and by neighborhoods and actually down to the street level, and you stage it and you time it, and it has to be very, very precise. Language is critically important in disaster communication.
Some coastal residents drew a very different lesson. They saw Rita as a gigantic false alarm, convincing them they'd be safer sheltering from a storm at home than risking their lives on the road. It was a mistake that would have horrific consequences just 3 years later.
Hurricane Season is produced by Andrew Schneider, Davis Land, Todd Holslander, and me, Maggie Martin. You can listen to this episode of Hurricane Season and subscribe by going to houstonpublicmedia.org/Harvey. On the next episode of Hurricane Season, we revisit Hurricane Ike.